Good morning, and welcome, and thank you for singing those songs and participating in Lord's Supper with us this morning. We've sung a lot of songs this morning about the heart. I don't know if you noticed that. It's a good lead up to my sermon this morning. I've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount this month, and this morning I want to talk about the next section of the book. We've already talked about the Beatitudes, and we've talked about letting your light shine. And I've been making the point that the Sermon on the Mount is about the kingdom of heaven and about what it means to be in the kingdom of heaven. And what it means to be in the kingdom of heaven is to have the kingdom of heaven in you. To be ruled and guided by the heart of God. We sang a song this morning about having God's heart in us, and that Jesus is the heart of God, sent from the heart of God, so that the heart of God could be our heart. And that is what the Sermon on the Mount is about. It's about the heart of God, having the heart of God. And that message extends to this section we're going to talk about here, the rest of chapter 5 of Matthew, which is about rule keeping. It's about fulfilling the law. Jesus is speaking to a group of people here in Matthew 5 who knew all about the rules. They knew all about the law. And many of them were dedicated to keeping the law, following the rules. And yet Jesus has something to say to them about that. Something that probably was unexpected. Something that they had never heard before with respect to truly fulfilling the law. I'll talk about it for a few moments this morning. Look here in Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Sometimes we give a rather simplistic explanation to the transition between the old law and the new law. And we say the old law was abolished and the new law was established. And so one was done away with and one was started. And so just a new set of rules. Well, there's a sense in which, a very narrow, limited sense in which that's true. But there's an even bigger, larger sense in which it's not true at all. In many ways, the old law and the new law is the same law. And one way of expressing that is the way that Jesus expresses it right here. I've not come to abolish the law, I've come to fulfill the law. And we need to understand that. We need to understand what it means to truly and actually fulfill law. And that's what Jesus is going to explain in this sermon. I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come to fulfill them. What does that mean? The Jews talked about all the time. What do you have to do to fulfill the law? We talked about a passage this morning and in Luke, what's the law say? What do I have to do? Jesus is saying, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about what it really means to fulfill law. And so he says in verse 18, for I tell you truly, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot, not a single stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. You know, why is he even making this point? I suppose because a lot of people might accuse Jesus of abrogating law, of ignoring law. You know, certainly a lot of the rules the Pharisees had put down. They might say, well, Jesus is a lawbreaker, or Jesus is a law ignorer, or Jesus is, he's talking about something that seems to not really care about the law. Jesus, that's not true. I'm not here to tell you you need to break the law or ignore the law or to dispense with the law. Oh, no. Quite the contrary. Every single thing in God's law is important. And I've come to tell you about that importance and to accomplish that importance and to tell you what the law is really about and what you really need to be doing and the way you need to be thinking about that law. Oh no, Jesus is not a rule breaker, law ignorer. No, far from it. Jesus respects the law. He respects it so much that he wants us to appreciate what it's really about, to truly embrace it. Verse 19, so then, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do likewise will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. You see, there's something about these rules and something about these laws, even small ones, that are important. They're so important. And you know, people get this idea in their head about, oh, well, there's, you know, I keep the good rules, the big rules, the main ones. You know, not always the little ones, you know, because they're not really that important. The big ones are important. Little Jesus has not got that attitude at all, does he? Kingdom of heaven that he's proclaiming, it is something that really takes the law seriously. All of it seriously. But whoever practices and teaches them will be the kingdom of heaven. I've been telling you that this sermon is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about what it really means. And it's not about borders and boundaries. It's not about domain of this world where, you know, there's power and might and who's in charge. And it's about heaven. The kingdom of heaven is about heaven and heavenly and divine and the rule of the divine, the rule of heaven. God's law is about the rule of heaven. And if you want to have the kingdom of heaven, then you have to practice and teach the rule of heaven. You have to know it, think it, and practice it. This is something quite remarkable in verse 20. I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And these are absolutes that Jesus is declaring here. Let me tell you something. The Pharisees and the scribes were all about rule keeping. They argued and discussed and debated and analyzed and studied and memorized every single rule. And not only every single rule in the Word of God, they memorized and discussed and debated and memorized all of their rules that were about keeping the rules. They had their own rules that were designed to make sure they followed God's rules. They had hundreds and hundreds of rules. And they were meticulous and careful and oh so circumspect about keeping this rule and this rule and that rule. And Jesus comes out with this dramatic and powerful statement, you got to do better. Oh man, How could I possibly do better than the Pharisees and the scribes? They lived their whole lives memorizing the rules. You look down on the Pharisee, my friend. Well, there's one area where they got you and I beat. They knew the rules. Do you know them? You got them all memorized? And yet memorizing the rules and debating and arguing about the rules and meticulously following all the rules doesn't necessarily make you righteous. What do you mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? Are you telling me that the scribes and the Pharisees aren't good at getting into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus is saying, that's exactly... Wow, that just doesn't make any sense. They keep all of the rules. They don't. Yeah, in one sense they keep the sense in which they don't keep. That doesn't... What do you mean they don't... Of course. I haven't come here to tell you to abrogate the rules. I've come here to tell you what you need to do to fulfill these rules. And what I'm about to explain to you, Jesus says, is about being better than the Pharisees and the scribes. This is something you need to understand, because if you don't understand this, you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's interesting. Jesus is going to go on now and talk about all of these rules. Don't murder people. Well, that's a good rule. That's a great rule. Don't commit adultery. That's a good rule too. Don't break your vow. Promise something, do it. That's a good rule. And on a certain level, if you're a godless person or an ignorant person and you don't know about these rules, you need to know about them. I mean, it's good to know the rule, don't murder people, and keep that rule. That's a good one. Yeah, well, they're all good. And in a society that's increasingly immoral, as Brother Ryan talked about in his prayer this morning to God, in a godless society, knowing about rules like you shouldn't murder people, that's something people need to know. And you shouldn't be committing adultery. That's something people should know, and they don't know it. But here's the thing. The people to whom Jesus is speaking knew all these rules. They knew them well. And yet Jesus is going to say, you haven't been keeping these rules. What? You got to do better than the scribes and Pharisees. They thought they were keeping all the rules, but they weren't. What do you mean? Well, let's talk about what Jesus means. I'm telling you. And you know, this is the part of the business at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that the people marveled at. He spoke as one having authority. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were always citing some kind of rule or some kind of precedent or some kind of rabbi. This rabbi said or this rule says. And Jesus is saying, I'm telling you. And the guy who's explaining the rules to us here is the guy who made the rules and the guy who enforces the rules. And he's the one who has the authority to tell us what the rules really mean. We need to listen to him. I'm telling you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will never, and that's absolute, you won't even get close to being in the kingdom of heaven. It's powerful, isn't it? Fulfilling the law. What is Jesus talking about? I have not come to abrogate the law, to eliminate the law. I have come to fulfill the law. Well, let's talk about murdering people. It's wrong to murder people. Yeah. Could do that. And most people would be happy and proud or self-satisfied to say, I've never murdered anybody. Not everybody can say that, but most people could. So does that mean you kept the law? I've never murdered anybody. I've kept the law. Really? Okay. You think that's what the law is about? Just not murdering people? You have heard that it was the ancients, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. And of course, if you don't know about that rule. That's a good one to know. And that's what you've heard. See, that's where they already were. You see, here's the thing. The Sermon on the Mount is not rule keeping 101. It's rule keeping 401. It's up there. This is pretty heavy duty stuff that we're talking about here. You already know the rule. And you already think you're keeping that rule. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. What? Wait a second. Where does it say that? Well, it does say that. You know, what do you think it means when it says love your neighbor? I'm just going to get to that in a little while. You see, that's what the rule's about. And if you are angry and harbor hatred and animosity and ill will and bitterness in your heart, you have not fulfilled the law. I didn't murder him. I felt like it. I came close to it, but I restrained myself, so I've kept the law. No, you haven't. Jesus is explaining what the law is about, the point of it. And the point of it is to have the heart of God. And if you hate people and you harbor animosity and ill will and bitterness, you do not have the heart of God, and you have broken the law. That's amazing. But that's the point. Anyone who is angry with his brother, anyone, man, I thought all of I was keeping the rule, do not murder. But I haven't been. Because so many times I've been angry. And I've said hurtful things like, you empty head. You fool. And I've harbored that ill will in my heart. And I am subject to judgment. Subject to judgment. Whose judgment? God's judgment. Maybe not my own. Maybe not those around me. But God's judgment. God is looking into my heart. He's judging me. Therefore, verse 23, people ahead a little bit. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. For a Jew, there can be no greater obligation than to go and make his offering. You've got to make your offering. It's required that you make your offering. Today is the day to make the offering. I'm here making the offering. I can't leave. I can't leave my offering. That's the most important thing. And yet, Jesus is telling us. He's telling us. You need to be reconciled to your brother first. How can you approach God with a whole heart and truly worship and be filled with God's love and joy and commune with God when you harbor this ill will and hatred in your heart to your brother? You can't worship God with that heart. You can't. Your offering means nothing. You violated the law. You got to do better than that. Go! Be reconciled. And that reconciliation is not just some kind of formality. It's not just some kind of, oh, well, I got to do this because you know. Shake hands, okay, all right. Be reconciled. That's keeping the law. Don't commit adultery. Well, that's a pretty big one. Don't do that. Don't commit adultery. That's wrong. That's a rule. It is. It is a rule. It is wrong. Why? Think God just kind of made that one up? He just kind of said, well, got to have a rule. Let me see. Man marries a woman. Let's just say, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Let's just say he has to stay faithful to that woman. No particular reason for it. Just, you know, it's just a rule. No. No, there's a reason for the rules. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. And they had heard that, and they did know that, and that was a rule, and everybody knew that rule. And if you broke that rule, that was bad, you broke that rule. So, let's move on, right? You already know that? You understand that? No, there's something you need to understand about that rule, about not committing adultery, that maybe you haven't thought about before. I'm telling you. You know this. You already heard this. I tell you that anyone, there's that anyone again, anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, that's pretty tough. That's difficult. What's the rule about? It's about purity of heart. That's what it's about. And a man can stand up and say, well, I've never committed adultery. I've never done that. I kept that rule. I'm a rule keeper. I keep the rule not commit adultery because that's an important rule. But I've wanted to. And I've thought about it. And I've kind of planned for it. And then it didn't. I backed out. Or I thought about doing it. Or I've really wanted to do it. And well, what is that? That is breaking the law. It's breaking the point of the law. The spirit of the law, you can express it in many different ways, but Jesus is saying we got to do better than simply white-knuckling our way through life. We have to adopt the heart of God. And if you really, truly adopt the heart of God, you're not spending all your time thinking about other women. You take all of your affection and your love and your devotion and you attach it to the one woman that you have promised, and taking a vow to love and honor and respect and to live with till you die, and you put all of your love and all of your affection and all of your energy into that woman because that's what you promised to do, but also because that is being a person who is ruled by the kingdom of heaven. That is what that is. And if you don't do that, it doesn't matter whether you actually go out and cheat or not. If you are abrogating the rule of heaven in your heart in your relationship with your wife or with your husband, you have broken the law. Even if it never comes to actually consummating the act of adultery, you've already done it as far as God is concerned. You've committed adultery in your heart. So what about divorce? Oh, that's all about rules, right? About whether you can divorce or you can't divorce, what circumstance you can divorce in, and who's to blame, and whether you can get remarried or not. And all, you know, it's all about these rules. And we just got to have to define it all. We have to tabulate all the rules and think about all the different scenarios in which you can get divorced or not divorced. And as long as you follow all these rules and stay within these guidelines, you're good to go. Good. Well, it's been said whoever divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. That's all you got to do is just follow the rule. Just follow the rule. You get divorced, just make sure you do it legally. Do it according to the rules. Because, you know, we just want to keep the rules and stay inside the boundaries. Be inside the boundaries of the rules, right? So just get divorced, give her a certificate, all's good. That's what you've been told. I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality brings adultery upon her. And he who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And, you know, again, this would have blown these people away. So I thought this was legitimate. I thought we followed this rule. We had these guidelines. We stayed within the rules. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, the point of this rule about divorce is not about just making sure you dot all the I's and cross all the T's with respect to the contract or certificate. That is not what the rule is about. The rule is about not destroying people, hurting people, hurting self, and hurting others. That's what the rule is about, and it's about having the heart of God. And it's a problem. People have a problem understanding this because they just say, just tell me what the rule is. If they commit immorality, sexual immorality, they go and cheat on you, you can divorce them. That's the rule, right? What if they don't? Then you shouldn't divorce them. Because if you do divorce them, and they go out and get married again, they're committing adultery, and the person who marries them is committing adultery. And Jesus says in another context, you get married, you're committing adultery too. You see, the problem is that very often people look at all of that and they say, well, that's difficult or that's hard or whatnot. But, you know, here's the bottom line. It's not about the rule. It's about what's in your heart. Let me give you an example or illustration of what I'm talking about. See, very often people think, well, it's all about me, whether I'm doing the right thing or I'm doing the wrong thing, or did I follow the rules? What does he say? Brings it upon her. Well, why should I care about her? She's the one I'm divorcing. Well, the reason that you should care about her is because, supposedly, you have the heart of God. And God rules in your heart. And you love her. Not with the affection of men, but with the affection of God. Supposedly. And here you divorce her and you think, well, I've crossed, you know, I've found the certificate, I've legally. You've put her in a position where she's going to be destroyed. And that's on you. That's not right. Okay, here's my illustration. What's the point of a rule? There's a four-way stop. And a four-way stop is a traffic construction, of course, and it's designed to do what? Okay, you pull up to a stop sign, what's the rule? The rule is that if there are other people who have approached the exchange, the interchange, the one who gets there first and stops first, they have the right of way, right? What if it's a tie? Well, if it's a tie, the person on the right has the right of way. That's the rule. So I come up to an intersection and I stop first and I'm on the right. And so I begin to proceed out into the interchange because the rule is I stop first and I'm on the right, so I have the right of way. But this other person just kind of blows through their stop sign. What do I do? Well, the rule says that I have the right of way. So I'm going to gun it and ram right into them because I'm in the right and I'm following the rules. No, you don't. Hopefully you don't. If you do, you need some psychological analysis is what you need. The reason you don't do that is because the point of these rules is not about proving who's right and who's wrong. The point of them is to keep accidents from happening. That's the point of them. They're to keep people from being hurt and harmed and injured and killed. Even when you have a right and you have the right of way and you're following the rule, you still have to care about other people. See, the rules of God are not just about proving who is right and who is wrong. They're about love and caring about people and caring about God and having the heart of God. And if you don't understand that, you're not really going to understand what Jesus is talking about. Do not break an oath. Same deal. You know, they had all these rules about what kind of oath you could make and what you should say and what you shouldn't say. Into the weeds on that a little bit. Matthew 5:33, again, you heard that it was said, the ancients, do not break your oath, but fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I tell you to not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne. And he goes on and talks about that. And you've probably heard the explanation. They had all these rules about the things you could swear by and you had to keep your oath, and things you could swear by and you didn't have to keep your oath. And all of these rules amounted to breaking the law, is what it was doing. They were just breaking the law. They had rules to break the law. Because when it gets right down to it, honesty is the law. Integrity is the law. And doing right by other people is the law. Don't swear. Don't play this game of, you know, the details, the technicalities of law. Don't play that game. Just say yes and mean it. Say no and mean it. That's the law. An eye for an eye, you know. The idea being, okay, if they hurt me to this degree, then I need to hurt them to that degree, and that's the law, and that's the rule, and that's what I need to do, and I have a right to that. If they have taken five from me, I take five from them. If they have insulted me, I insult them. I suppose, you know, that's the rule, right? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Actually, the point of that rule was to limit civil responsibility to the level of the crime that was committed. It was a restriction is what it was. People don't realize that, but it was to be, you know, somebody steps on your shoe, your sneaker in the subway, you don't pull out a gun and blow their head off. That's stupid. Maybe you step on their sneaker, maybe that, but you certainly don't say, you disrespected me, I'm going to kill you. That's absurd. That's what the law was about. And that's what they'd heard, and they practiced that, you know, because, you know, I'm within my rights. You know, this is what has been done to me. This is what I require. But Jesus says, I tell you not to do that. Not to pursue the law to that degree or in that way, or to think about the law in that way, because what good does that do? Someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And, you know, I could spend a whole sermon talking about that, but why would you do that? Why would you restrain yourself? And you know, you have a right to retaliate in that instance, right? Don't I have a right to do that? Well, what, you know, what is the rule about? The law is about peace and reconciliation and if you don't understand that, then you don't understand what the law is about. Keep the law. I tell you not to resist the evil person. If someone slaps you, somebody insults you, if somebody mistreats you, don't retaliate. Don't do that. Love your neighbor. And I'm rapidly running out of time here, but you get the point. Love your neighbor. You've been told this. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The idea of loving your neighbor, we got into this a little bit with the Good Samaritan this morning. The idea of loving your neighbor certainly has to be restricted in some way, because, you know, just to love everybody, to treat everybody good, that would be just be crazy. Well, the law of God's crazy in the world's view. But in the person who's ruled by the heart of God, it makes perfect sense. Don't hate your enemy. What good is that? What does that do to hate your enemy? I tell you, love your enemies. Love them. That's practicing the law in its intent, in its purpose, in what it's there for. You may be sons of your Father in heaven. You see, there's the money verse right there. That's what it's all about. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It's not about the guy. It's not about the guy who slapped you. It's not about the guy who's suing you. It's not about the guy who took your cloak. It's not about the guy who asked you to walk 1 mile and forced you to do that. It's about you and who you are. And who you are is somebody who wants to be, who aspires to be, and who becomes a child of heaven. That's what it's about. That's the law. He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And I want to be just like Him. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's a good end to this section of the Sermon on the Mount because that's what it's about. And the word perfect, of course, is not about flawless. It's about whole. It's about complete. It's about full. Fulfilling the law. Its intent. Its purpose. Its promise. And the promise of the law is that when you really get into your head and follow it and practice it and live it and think it, you become like God. That is the point of the law. It's the point of all moral law. Now, I know, and it's still true, that we're not under the old law. We're under the new law. That's true. But both the old law and the new law speaks the same principle, the same point. And if we don't get this, we can't even be in the kingdom of heaven. No amount of technical rule-keeping is going to save us if we don't get that. So, in conclusion, the reign of heaven is not for its own sake. There is nothing about rules for their own sake that matter. The point of God's law is to adopt the character of God. Well, that's what all the rules are about. It's about learning to think and feel and approach things the way that God does. That's what they're about. To genuinely seek peace. Genuinely seek peace. And the welfare of others from the heart. Feel about others and think about others the way that God does. And behave accordingly. That is fulfilling the law. I hope I've explained that well. But I got to tell you, this is big stuff. It's Morality 401. It's a college level course. On one level, I guess it's really kind of simple, but if you don't get the you can't be in the kingdom of heaven. So, what say you? Do you want to be in the kingdom of heaven? Well, to be in the kingdom of heaven, you have to let the kingdom of heaven in. To let God direct your heart and to embrace His love. And you do that by saying, I believe in the man who said these things. I believe in him. And I want to follow him. You do that by being baptized in his name. If you want to do that, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.